Romans chapter 3. And let's begin reading in verse 27 as we continue our exposition of the book of Romans. The verses that we're about to read are eminently practical. They're so wonderful because they're down to earth, but yet they're deeply theological. And that's why I love the Scripture so much. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God. Paul says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles as well. Seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." Thank you. You may be seated. In order to understand these few verses, you must remember what Paul has already said in Romans chapter 3. And let me remind you, for those of you who've been in our study, and tell those of you who are here for the first time, what it is Paul has been emphasizing. There are four major themes that Paul has given us in chapter 3 prior to our text. Here they are. First, Paul has told us that our sin brings injury to the glory of God, in that when we sin, we exchange God's glory for our pleasure. In other words, every time you and I sin, and as Paul said, every one of us is a sinner, we exchange God's glory for our pleasure. We despise God. You remember last week I told you when David sinned with Bathsheba, he committed adultery. God sent a messenger to David, and through the messenger said this, "David, you have despised me." And you remember I said, I can imagine David thinking to himself, "Wait a minute, what are you talking about, God? This has nothing to do with you. I was simply hot after a woman, and I was afraid that I might get caught. God, you didn't even enter the picture. This has nothing to do with you, God. I didn't despise you because you weren't even around in my thoughts." And I can just imagine God saying, "David, that is exactly why you despise me. I wasn't in your thoughts." All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We live our lives exchanging His presence and His glory in our lives for our pleasure. That's the way it is. Paul tells us this. But even though our sin deserves the wrath and the anger and the displeasure of a holy God, God has set forth Jesus Christ to be a propitiation or mercy covering for us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, Romans 3, verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that because our sin deserves separation from God and death, God, in His love for sinners, has given to us a propitiation, a mercy covering, Jesus Christ Himself. The word propitiation, as we explained again in our study, has the idea of being covered or protected. Maybe you've seen firefighters who have been fighting a fire in a forest. They have these blankets that if the oxygen causes the fire to sweep over them in a flame or in a burst of flames, they will pull the blanket over themselves, they will lie on the ground, and the blanket will become a mercy covering to protect them from the fire around them. That's what Jesus Christ is to sinners. A mercy covering, a propitiation, our sin, our exchange of pleasure for the glory of God, deserves God's anger, His wrath. But God, in His love for sinners, has given His Son as a propitiation. What a beautiful thought. Paul goes on and he says in Romans 3, "The redemption that is in Christ Jesus has completely paid for the guilt of our sin." That's in verse 24. "Jesus Christ, through His blood," that is His death, "has paid completely for the guilt of my sin." It's like that old illustration of those people traveling on the Western Plains. And the leader of the wagon train, back then they traveled in wagon trains, they saw the fire coming. The leader said, "We've got fire sweeping toward us. We can't outrun it. The river's too far behind us." "Well, what do we do?" they cried. And the leader of the wagon train said, "Set the grass behind us on fire." And so they took their lanterns and they set the grass behind them on fire, and the wind swept the fire along the grass behind them. And the grass was completely burned out. When they backed the wagon trains upon the burnt grass and watched as the fire approached them, when the fire came to where they were standing, it died out. Because where they were standing, the fire had already been. That is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He paid the debt that we owed. He redeemed us. He received in Himself the wrath of a holy God due our sin. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He cried. We answer, "God forsook the Son whom He loved because of our sin." And when we are in Christ, covered by Him, we stand in a place where the fire of God's wrath has already been. Paul has told us all this in Romans 3. And then he concludes Romans 3 by saying this, "God is therefore righteous when He justifies sinners, in that He punishes the sinner's sin in His Son and then declares the sinner completely righteous on the basis of the work of Christ." That is what Paul says in verse 26, the verse just prior to the text we read just a minute ago. God can save a sinner like you. God can forgive a sinner like me. God can declare me completely righteous. He can bless me and grace me and welcome me into His presence and love me and forgive me and embrace me and care for me and protect me and guide me because He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the debt that we owe Him. And the debt's been paid, and now He can declare us righteous and remain just. Remain a judge who will punish sin. He doesn't just wink at sin. He will punish sin. He remains a just judge. But He justifies the ungodly because of the work of His Son. Now that's what we've been looking at for the last several months. And I'm just, my heart really is pained sometimes. Because people have a hard time comprehending what I have just said. Christianity to so many people is about doing things, about obeying laws, about doing right, about living a moral life, about going to church, about being good. Christianity is about what people do in the minds of so many that when it comes to talk about what God has done for sinners and the justification of sinners through the redemption of Jesus Christ, people sometimes are at a loss. They are confused. They don't understand it. And I propose the reason why is because they don't study the Word of God. Because the Bible is very clear. God has done this for sinners. And this is where we pick up today. Paul continues his discussion of the work of God on our behalf by giving us some very practical advice. He says in verse 27, "Where then is boasting?" It is excluded. Why would Paul say that? You know, you think if he's talking about the work of Christ and the blood of Christ and justification and God's glory and all of those great theological themes, why does he then talk about boasting? What does that have to do with anything? Well, I think Paul understood what I so well know about my own life. I, by nature, have a tendency to want to boast about myself. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong in wanting to boast about one's spouse. I love to talk about my wife, Rochelle, and to brag about her, and I think that's probably healthy. Or to brag about your kids. I mean, that's something that every parent will do, you know. Or to brag about, you know, your job or your boss or your business. I mean, that's just part of being a human. That's just part of living life. But when it comes to boasting about oneself, boasting is nothing but the external evidence of the internal sin of pride. And pride substitutes within the heart what should be there. That is a dependence upon God. Thus, Paul says, there's no room for boasting in the life of a believer. Why? There's no room for spiritual boasting in your life. Why? Because, number one, you had absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. Nothing. Nada. Not one thing. You say, oh, now, wait just a minute, Pastor. I had a lot to do with my salvation. It was on a Monday. It was on a Tuesday. I heard that preacher at that revival service. He told me about Jesus Christ. And I walked that aisle, and I signed that card, and I knelt, and I prayed, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. That's when I was saved. I had a lot to do with my salvation. No, my friend, you had nothing to do with it. That was not your salvation. God does not declare you righteous because you did that. God declares you a sinner righteous because of what His Son did for you. You see, all that happened there was you came to a recognition of what Christ had already done. Now, see, in Bible days, they didn't have the aisle. They didn't have the church. They didn't have the pew. They had the beggar on the side of the road. They had the widow with the issue of blood. They came to Christ in different ways than you did, but they were all saved the same way, through the pure, unadulterated grace of a holy God who has chosen to love sinners and to give His Son as a propitiation for our sin. You had nothing to do with your salvation. That is why Paul says, where then is boasting? You see, if your salvation was according to the law, or to works, or according to what you did, your church, or your attendance, or your commitment, or your baptism, or whatever you said, or whatever you promised, or whatever you committed, then you might have something to boast about. But your salvation has nothing to do with anything that you have done. It is all of God. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. The word that Paul uses here in our text in verse 27 for excluded is an interesting Greek word. It has the idea of a door being locked, but then the key is thrown away. Never to be found again, the door never to be opened again. There is no room for spiritual boasting in your life. You're not here today as a believer in Jesus Christ because you're smarter than the person in Saudi Arabia who's following Muhammad. You are not here today as a believer in Jesus Christ because there is something inherent within you that is good, different than that person who is following after the teachings of Buddha. No, no, no. If you're here today, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because God has done something for you through His Son. You heard the good news, and that good news which was performed totally independent of you. When you read the newspaper, you're not making the news. You're reading the news. The gospel is good news. You're not making the news. You're hearing the news, the gospel. When you heard the news, by the grace of God, you believed. You had nothing to do with your salvation. That's why you can't boast. Now, some of you here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I believe that. I had nothing to do with my salvation. I never boasted about the fact that I'm saved. God saved me. That flows so freely from your lips. But you boast about some other things. You boast about your holiness. But we've forgotten that holiness is as much a part of salvation as justification. And I want you to see that you have nothing to do whatsoever with your sanctification as well. You say, now wait a minute, Pastor, what are you talking about, sanctification? Sanctification means to be set apart or to be made holy. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're different than the world. And you find that as your life goes on, as the grace of God becomes more real in your life, you become even more different than the people who don't know Christ and so on. You're being sanctified. Jesus Christ is your sanctification as well as your salvation. Jesus Christ didn't come just to save you in order to take you to heaven. Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins. And there's one thing I've learned about Jesus Christ. He never fails at what He intends to do. He is going to save His people from their sins. It's a guarantee. So that, whether you know it or not, by the grace of God, you are going to become more holy. You are going to become more disciplined. You are going to become more like Jesus. It is a guarantee because it is a work of His grace. Here's the problem. We forget that God is doing something in the lives of His people according to His timetable by His grace. And we start thinking, really, we're the ones doing it. And we try to separate it from our salvation. And we call it sanctification or holiness. And we try to act like it's different than being saved. The Bible never separates sanctification from salvation. It's all part of the same process. And God does it in His people. But we try to take credit for our holiness. The Jews did the same thing. In fact, Paul in our text says, therefore we conclude, verse 28, that a man is justified by faith without doing anything according to the law. Now he can hear the Jews answering him saying, but wait a minute, God is only our God, verse 29. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, God is really only in our church. God is really only revealing Himself in our people. Listen, you cannot brag about your church. You can't brag about your church being the kind of church where God resides. Listen, God is in His people. And there's a tendency sometimes within denominations, including Baptists, where we start feeling really proud about who we are, and we start bragging about our convictions and what we do and what we don't do. You cannot brag about any of it. The reason is if you don't do certain things in your life, if God has given you a conviction not to do this or not to do that and so on, why do you think you have that conviction? It's because God gave it to you. Now, if He gave it to you and it's a work of His grace and you did nothing to earn it, but He just did it in you, then why are you boasting about it? Then why are you condemning people who aren't like you? The Jews believed the Gentiles were evil people. Verse 29, Paul says, He's the God of the Gentiles as well. The Jews didn't believe that. You see, they believed that because of their commitment to God, they were more special to God, and they boasted about their commitment. You cannot boast about your commitment to Christ. If you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you're committed to your wife and committed to your family, committed to your kids, you are committed to this church, more power to you. But my friend, don't boast about it. Don't boast. You know what the flip side of boasting is, don't you? The flip side of boasting is condemning people who aren't the way you are. You can't boast about the fact that your marriage is stable. You can't boast about the fact that you and your wife love to serve Jesus. You can't boast about the fact that you're committed and other families aren't. You can't. Because if you are committed, it's a product of His grace. All of His people will one day be fully committed when they see Him for who He is. But on the journey, we're at different points in the race. The Jews, they also boasted about their consecration. Paul says, you can't do that. It is God who justifies, verse 30. You can't boast about your devotion. Charles Spurgeon put it in a wonderful way. Listen to what he says as he expounds upon the verse, salvation is of the Lord. He says, salvation is a work of God. It is He alone who quickens the soul that is dead in trespasses and sins. It is He who also maintains the soul in its spiritual life. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Salvation is of the Lord. If I am prayerful, it is God who makes me prayerful. If I have graces, they are God's gifts to me. If I hold on in a consistent life, it is because He upholds me with His hand. I do nothing whatever towards my own preservation, except what God Himself first does in me. Whatever I have, all my goodness is of the Lord alone. Now listen to this. Wherein I sin, now that is my own. I will take responsibility for that because I'm acting on my own. But where I do right, that is of God, wholly and completely. If I have repulsed a spiritual enemy, it is the Lord's strength that nerved my arm. Do I live before men a consecrated holy life? It is not I, but Christ who lives in me. Am I sanctified? I didn't cleanse myself. God's Holy Spirit sanctifies me. Am I weaned from the world? I'm weaned by God. Do I grow in knowledge? The great instructor teaches me. All my jewels were fashioned by heavenly art. I find in God all that I want, but I find in myself nothing but sin and misery. He only is my rock and my salvation. Do I feed on the Word? That Word would be no food for me unless the Lord made it food for my soul and helped me to feed upon it. Do I live on the manna which comes down from heaven? What is that manna but Jesus Christ Himself, incarnate, whose body and whose blood I eat and drink? Am I continually receiving fresh increase of strength? Where do I gather my might? My help cometh from heaven's hills. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. As a branch cannot bring forth fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can I except I abide in Him. What Jonah learned in the great deep, let me learn this morning in my closet. Salvation is of the Lord. I used to transcribe my messages. And at the top of them, after I would type them out, I would submit them to people and put them on the internet. I would put this, put the title of the message, the text, humbly submitted by Pastor Wade Burleson. And I kept looking at that and looking at that, and something just didn't sit right with me. And then it dawned on me, humbly submitted? What am I talking about? When have I ever submitted anything humbly? I don't know that I have. You see, we're so used to talking about our commitment and our decisions and our consecration and our holiness and our discipline and so on that we lose sight of the fact that Paul says we cannot boast about anything except Jesus Christ. We boast in Him. You say, well, now, Pastor, but wait a minute. Shouldn't we be concerned about other people and about where they are in their walk with Christ and what they're doing in their sin? Shouldn't we be involved in their life? I have a hard enough time taking care of myself and seeing the sin that is in my own life. And you know, I am concerned when other people do things that hurt themselves and their families. But here's the thing. I'm not going to boast about the fact that I'm better than they are or condemn them because they are where they are. I'm going to recognize that if I am where I am, it is only because of the grace of God, and I'm going to keep my mouth shut when there is a temptation to talk about how strong I am. You know, there are times, don't you, when we should just be quiet, When the temptation comes to boast or to put other people down and to call them rebels and sinners and so on. And you know, that's what we do. We do it in a pious, spiritual way. And we just condemn people for where they are. But what we're really doing is boasting about ourselves. There's a time to zip our lips and to be quiet. If we are anything, it is because of the grace of God. Now, my friend, if you're here this morning and you find yourself deeply involved in sin, and that sin is crushing you, I will boast to you, but I'll not boast to you about myself. I'll boast to you about my Lord. He came to redeem sinners. He died as a propitiation for sinners like us. It's all a work that God has done. It's all good news for people who know themselves to be sinners. And what I'm asking you to do is to tie a string to the cross. Not a string of works, because if it were works, then you could boast. I'm asking you to tie a string of faith. Because I have concluded, like Paul, that a man is justified by faith. So boasting is absolutely excluded in my life. And by the way, if I have any satisfaction in my life, I can't boast about it. Am I satisfied today? Am I satisfied with who I am and my relationship with Christ? I can't boast about that. And I can't fault you for being dissatisfied. Oh, no, no, no. What I'm going to do is just thank the Lord for being where I am. And I'm going to be patient with you. I'm going to be forbearing with you. I'm going to be loving to you. When you exclude boasting from the Christian life, you, by the very fact you've excluded it, embrace people who need a Savior. And what I think you'll find is this: you will be a Jesus magnet when you're around people who need the Lord, because they don't feel that they've got to perform in order to be in your presence. They feel that there's something about you that says something has happened to where you're right with God and you're right with men and you're not having to pretend to be somebody you're not. You're real. What do you have that I don't have? And I will say, you will say, we have nothing but Jesus Christ, and Him we present to you and boast about. And all of God's people said, let's exclude boasting from our vocabulary.